Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Soul Speak. So honored to be here once again with everybody on the line. I just got to say thank you so much, first of all. I appreciate all of you so much. It's not lost on me that I attracted you just as equally as you attracted me and this retreat, because we're supporting each other right now. We're supporting, and that's my intention with Soul Speak, that it is a collective supportive field that gives us this wonderful current that we're each carrying each other a little bit, and when there's a lot of us, that's a powerful energy. So I'm your host again. This is Sheldon Pisnat, and in this session, I'm excited. We're going to be talking with an intuitive energy healer named Masharda Priya about energy healing, honoring intuition and guidance, keeping your energy field clear, and lots more. A little about Masharda Priya. After many journeys to India to study at a mountain ashram in silence, Masharda Priya joined an ashram near Portland, Oregon, and took vows as a Hindu nun. Masharda was led at a young age to be aware of her intuitive abilities and desire to use her gifts to help others find their inner divine. Masharda works with angels and guides to connect with your personal guides. As a witnessing presence, she listens as the guides communicate the inner issues that prevent people from realizing their full potential. Then she works with a variety of methods, releasing the distortions to bring harmony back as the basis of your life. She has the ability to see within a person's physical body, and the power of the guides pinpoint solutions to the issues known or even unknown to her clients. Having studied chakra clearing in India for over a five-year period, Masharda is aware of both the central chakras and the causes of pain throughout the whole system. Masharda also studied under some of the best Western teachers, while continuing her sadhana work. Her work combines the East and West complementary teachings. Masharda, welcome to Soul Speak. It's great to have you here. How are you today?
Oh, fine, Sheldon. Thank you so much for inviting me. Such a big honor to be here with your group, and I can't wait to be talking with everyone. So everybody, when Sheldon said, please come and just you can talk about anything you want that you think might make people feel better and more happy, I was so excited. I couldn't wait to get started.
Awesome. I'm always excited to talk with all of the new folks too. And it is a blessing. Is there anything else about your background you can share with us a little bit? Because you got such an amazing story. You're a Hindu nun up in an ashram in Oregon. It all sounds so romantic in a way to a lot of spiritual seekers like me. Although I've actually joined an ashram, somewhat of an ashram, for about a year of my life. So I know that there's also the whole other side. It's not all that romantic, right? There's so much interpersonal relationship that we're involved with. But your story, just going to India and learning from masters and staying in ashrams over there, it all sounds so intriguing. Maybe you could share a little bit about your upbringing, your childhood, anything you'd like.
Oh, thank you, Sheldon. So, actually, Sheldon, my upbringing wasn't all that exciting and happy. It was pretty much filled with emotional abuse. And I think we were one of those families that does not make the storybooks. We were that family. And so I used to be so sad and so unhappy because I was emphatic, and I did know what everybody was feeling. So I would just go to the store. I would actually steal a dime and go to the store and buy two huge candy bars and pass out, so that I wouldn't have to be part of the family. And so I did escapism as my main technique of avoiding everything. And I would do that every single week on Sundays. I would just pass out because I couldn't take the family dynamics. And so, probably we all know, that if you're not having a really good relationship with yourself, you run away and you get married. And you bring all of that unhealthiness with you into the marriage. Yeah. So after the second marriage and a number of years of marriage failed, and I left in order to survive. And at that point is when I started studying with a guru. About, oh, I'm going to say 2 years prior to my leaving that marriage, which was dissolved anyways, I had this time, and all I could think about was God. It lasted for about 5 days, and I couldn't understand why other people who I knew had spiritual backgrounds and were really into God, why they would even think about talking about anything else. My whole life just revolved around this idea of God, what it was, where he came from, and I couldn't think of anything else. And as that slowly passed, I just made the decision that I had to leave the marriage. But I waited until my son was old enough that he was going to be able to survive without me. And then I left.
So this was a spontaneous spiritual awakening, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it just happened.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Wasn't anything I was looking for. It surprised me. But I couldn't understand why other people who I knew loved God would want to talk about selling vitamins or anything. It was like, no, let's just talk about God. Nah. So it
that's
really
so,
is
you know,
a,
that's exactly
a lone trip. Yes?
Oh, I was just saying that is exactly how I felt in, during my spiritual awakening, too. And I think that all of us who have those peak experiences, it's just the divine just overrides everything. We're just totally absorbed in it, you know, and everything else is, we you know, it's so, it's, you've been to India a number of times. I know in the texts of the sages and the mystics over in India, they call the experience something like the nectar of the gods. You know, when we get that experience of the divine, it's just like all we want is more, and everything else is, who cares? It sounds to me like,
yeah,
it's just resonating for me sharing.
Nobody understands that because they're all going, oh, okay, and they take away 3 steps away from you, and then they talk about their lives again. And but that's not really the way it is. And so a friend of mine told me about a healer who was coming to our town. Her name is Kurunamai. She's a wonderful lady. And so in 3 months, I met a guru named Srima, who was at that time down in Mount Shasta. And I met Kurunamai, who still comes to the United States every year. It's been like 18, 19 years that she's come. And Amici, I met them all within 3 months. And that just showed me that there could be a place for women of power and spiritual growth, and I went for it. Hook, line, and sinker, I was there. So I went, after I was invited by Kurunamai, I went to her mountain ashram. We studied in silence. The first time was for a month, and it was really hard. My friend brought chocolate. And we would go at night, we would eat chocolate in our room, and we wouldn't tell anybody. We would just eat the chocolate trying to get back into our other life, and you can't do it, mm-hmm. because when you're there, you're there. And then after mm-hmm. that, I went for another 5 times, and I learned this chocolate clearing system, which is thousands and thousands and thousands of years old, and I got to the place where I can teach that. And then I came back to the United States, and I was still living with my son, and things were growing harder. He was in high school now, and kids kind of rebelled. Fortunately, he was a good kid, so his rebel was music, but that's all he wanted was music. And I did take him to India, which was an amazing, wonderful experience. I took him several times. And so it's just like it became a family thing. But as he went to college, that his whole interest in that dissipated, but mine grew. So I went and joined an ashram here in town that I could be close to him and still serve God.
Hmm. Oh, well, thanks for your service.
Yeah.
Thanks for serving the divine within all of us.
Yeah. And so by then, starting like about the time that I was working with the various gurus, I started realizing that I was hearing them without talking to them, and they were talking to me, mm-hmm. and I was smelling them, and I would have physical pain, or I would walk down the street and fall down because I knew that they were doing, or I would find out later they were doing a puja or worship service in India, and my name was in it, and that's how the energy was affecting me. So I started understanding the extreme energy that can flow through all of the earth and actually through all the universe, and how to channel it and how to use it to help others and to heal others. And it's really mm-hmm. a humongous gift. It's a huge gift. And if you mm-hmm. have this kind of gift, you really can't keep it inside of you. You really feel compelled to share, because mm-hmm. it's like there's people that really need this, people that need to understand who they are and how they can react to the earth, or people like me that are having this energy and have no idea what to do with it. And when their family members tell them they're not doing well, no, they're doing perfectly. They're just being themselves. So I really want people to know, if you have these kinds of experiences and there's no one there to talk to, just email me. I'll talk to you about it. Anybody, anytime. It's very, very important to feel good about these gifts. They're fairly rare, but everybody has them. It's just most people are not open to them.
Mm. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Gosh, that's nice. Well, you've done a lot of studying with energy and practice and experience. How I'd love to utilize some of your knowledge and experience. How, you know, would I or our audience, what are some tips on how to work with our chakras, with our energy, how to keep it clear and flowing and in balance and in optimal health and wellness?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Sheldon, because your audience should know I'm not a spring chicken here. So I have been studying this for some time. So long, 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 long time ago, maybe in the early 70s, I was studying Aikido in Hawaii. And one of the main gentlemen came over that had started the Ki Society. His name is Tohei. And he was very big on this one statement, which has stayed with me for over 50 years. And that statement is, walk on the sunny side of the street. You have your choice. You can walk on the shadow side. You can think all kinds of negative things about all the stuff that's going around you. Or you can walk on the sunny side. You can look at your own heart. You can look at the sweetness within you. Or you can smell the flowers. You have a choice. And so if you're ever given the choice and you want to do it, walking on the sunny side of the street will probably get you further. And it will certainly, the bees are attracted to honey, right? So the things that you want are going to be more easily attracted to you when you're thinking about things that make you feel good and are happy. Mm. And as I was thinking about that, some other, such old things came up to my mind that are actually hard to do because we live in such a busy time. And so the second thing I wanted to mention was, everybody, get some sleep. How many of us are working on 4.5, 5, 6 hours of sleep? If you can sleep a little bit longer, try and get it up to 7 hours, your body will be stronger and you'll be able to process things going on in your life much more quickly because your brain won't be all foggy. And the next thing that came to me was, really, let's start laughing. Get our energy all happy and cheerful. And if you can find somebody to walk with you and get a little exercise and laugh at the same time, that's probably about really one of the most positive things you can do for your body and for your mind and your soul, is to laugh and see nature. And then try and get some, drink a lot of water and eat the best foods that you can afford. And sometimes you might think, well, I'm going to eat McDonald's today, but tomorrow maybe I'll be cooking some more natural food. Okay, so keep it in your mind that the natural food is out there for you, and that you can indulge in that too. You don't just have to stay in one place. You can shift what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, Sheldon, that I wanted to talk to you about was how people wear masks and they put out a facade. that this is what I want to appear as to everybody. So maybe you're a woman who's been emotionally or physically abused, and you put out sort of a toughness so that this won't happen to you again. But it's not who you are. It's just this thing that you, this shield that you've put out. And guys do the same thing. They don't want people to know they have a sensitive side. People are always trying to protect themselves or appear in a certain way. But I would like to say, if you can go down and take this facade off and get rid of the mask, even if you put them on later, and they, because they did serve a purpose, but if you can go down and look at your own real self, you'll be able to find something that is not going to sabotage you like your mask might. You're just going to be your very own self, and you'll be able to look more closely at the people around you, and they'll be able to see you. They'll respond to you in a different way if you're not wearing this mask that makes them going to go away. So if we're hiding from other people, it's real possible, Sylvan, that we're hiding from ourselves too. When we hide from ourselves and we're not able to find out the true gifts that we have inside us, I think everybody is born with this knowledge that they are God, and we put it, cover it up pretty fast. So by the time we're 3 years old, we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be hiding that. But if you take some time and you take off all these masks, you're going to find inside you is this really beautiful being, so sweet. And if you let other people see this sweet, sweet being, they're going to respond to you in such a way, and you're going to be receiving all the things that you want. You're not going to be just reflecting all the stuff that's negative out there. You're just going to be bringing all the good stuff to you. A lot of times, Sheldon, have you noticed people put on a mask because they're afraid of something that they found inside themselves, like anger? Oh, you shouldn't be angry. Or maybe sorrow. Oh, I don't want to think about that because it makes me sad. Or sometimes they might be thinking, oh, my sister or brother, they were so mean to me. What can I do? That makes me so mad. Well, I'm not going to think about that because I have to deal with my brother and sister every day, so I'm just going to hide it. And all of a sudden, they have a really sore shoulder. They have a bad back. Suddenly, they have a fall and their knee gets hurt, and they don't know why. So the first time somebody told me, if you look inside pain, the pain will talk to you. So instead of having a headache and running and take aspirin, if you had a headache and you became aware of it and you said to your headache, I'm going to give you a voice. I'm going to let you talk to me. I'm going to let you tell me what's really, really wrong. And, of course, at first you might feel a little silly. You might say, oh, come on now, that's just pain. How can pain have a voice? How can my cells have a voice? But what they have is all that stored up energy that you never expressed and you never accepted in yourself. So if you give yourself a little bit of time to listen to the pains inside of you, they'll tell you what's wrong. They'll say, it's that nephew of mine. He's coming over again, and you know he breaks all my stuff. Or whatever is the problem. It's probably some very small thing, but it could be something really, really big that you've never handled. Or that you've tried to handle, and because of the various layers that there are, it hasn't been totally handled. I would like to tell the audience that one very, very easy thing to do to accept your pain and to get rid of it is to just talk to it and listen to what your pain has, and then just start holding that pain, that piece that's so sore, and start giving it love. Well, it sounds like a big job, but it's really simple if you try this one little method. Sheldon, do you remember when you were a little guy and they had those beach balls that were all different colors and they were really lightweight so you could bounce them around really cool on the beach, like they'd have white and yellow and red on them?
They still have them.
Yeah.
They still have them.
They
I
do?
I was at the beach last week. I was, and this one came bouncing came bouncing down, bounced over me. And I looked around, you know, to see if I could grab it for somebody who had lost it. And there's not another soul on the beach that day. It was really windy, and there was nobody. And it just occurred to me, I have no idea where this beach ball came from. It was pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, they still have.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So if you take that beach ball, and let's suppose you had a sore shoulder, and you visualized, or in your imagination, you put that sore shoulder inside that beach ball, and you held it in your hands in front of you as if it was like the most precious ornament that you'd ever had, made out of fragile glass. So beautiful. But it's your shoulder.
Can I interrupt you
and
for 1 minute?
And it's this ball. Yeah.
This strikes me as a wonderful time to do an experiential process. I'm all about that. I love doing those. So I would suggest that why don't all of us listening take, as Mishard is talking about this, you go ahead and talk about it, but I'm going to just invite everybody online that's listening to take a moment and scan their body. It's so funny you mentioned a sore shoulder because that's exactly what I have right now, a torn rotator cuff. So scan your body. If you have any areas of discomfort, any areas of pain, go ahead and do this while she's talking about this, and I'm going to join you, okay? So let's all put our painful areas or areas that maybe are not quite feeling an optimal health into, why don't you start again, into the beach ball? Is that what you said?
Like, into a beach ball. And, you know, Sheldon, sometimes it's not a pain in your body. It's a pain in a relationship or a lack of something, like a lack of money. Any of those things can go in this beach ball. So we have this beach ball. And you know, when you're a little kid and you're trying to blow this beach ball up, it's tough because it takes a lot of breath. It's harder than a balloon. So you're blowing this beach ball up, but it's not quite blown up yet. But you yourself are still holding it as if it's blown up, but it's not. And your issue, your arm, your shoulder, your knee for some money, your relationship with your father, whatever, it's all inside this ball. Okay, now as we're holding this ball, we're thinking love. That's all you have to think. Love, I love you, I love you, I love my shoulder. And as you're feeling this love, somehow it comes out your hands and into the ball. Now your hands are in front of you, but the ball is kind of in your mind. So there's no ball there. It's just your imagination. But as you're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, the ball starts to fill up, and your hands actually move out as the ball gets bigger. And pretty soon, maybe just a few minutes, or it might even take 15 minutes, all of a sudden you're going to find that you have this solid ball right in front of you, and it's all filled with love. And it's surrounding your arm, your shoulder, your hand, whatever. And at that point, I take this ball straight to my heart, and I just start hugging it. Then the love really gets strong. The energy gets so strong. You can't believe it. It's like this ball, which you have put in from your mind, becomes a real ball. It becomes a real energy force. Like a sphere of energy, and it's surrounding whatever issue you've put in there. And so you continue to hold it and hold it and hold it. And at some point, you realize the pain in your body is gone, and you feel really good about whatever relationship it is, and you feel that money is going to come to you, and you say, I can release this. So you can either do what happened with Sheldon and toss the ball and let it go down and let someone else play with it, or you can just start saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I forgive you. And all of this problem in the shoulder that was caused from unforgiveness of people doing some rotten thing, or people who are harassing you, your emotional response, or this lack of money, why are you self-sabotaging yourself every time somebody offers you a job and you screw that up? All of that goes. You just forgive yourself. You forgive everybody else. It's all love. And you can either put it inside your heart, or you can let it go to the universe. and it's over. It's all free. You're free. And that's something that's worked well for me. Worked for other people. Works when I do with my clients. I do that. Yeah. I just fill them with so much love. And then about 2-3 days later, they write, after I did that, after I was so filled with love, everything changed and I started feeling good. And, you know, so it really is a very effective way to change energy. And it doesn't cost anything. You can do it yourself. You can do it almost anywhere. And so sometimes, though, Sheldon, you know what happens? We get affected. We call it triggered. Somebody, like, does something, irritates you. Oh, how easy that is to have happen, right? And you think it's this other person. But really, all they've done is an action that's drawn out a response from inside of you. They call that a trigger mechanism. And you know that if you had time, you could go home and do the beach ball thing, and you could get rid of it, but you're at work, or you're at school, or you're having dinner with 3 kids, and you're wishing you weren't. So another way that you can get this to be effectively gone on a either long-term or sometimes temporary basis until you can go home and do the beach ball is to create a small symbol for yourself. And just think about this cute little symbol that you make. And sometimes this symbol can be like a geometric design, like maybe a triangle and a dot. It could be a flower or a mushroom or something that means something to you. Or it could be a squiggle, but it's always going to be approximately the same squiggle. And this is going to be your symbol. You want to learn this symbol so that when you need it, you can have it. And one way to learn it is to, like, put it on your telephone or to put it on your mirror or put it on your door so you see it when you go out. And you just want this symbol to go into your mind. Like, I have one. A couple of my friends have them, too. And so then when somebody at work, and, you know, I work with a ton of people. I work with people that are hungry. So people that are hungry are not always thoughtful. They are grouchy, actually. And so they can be a little bit rude. And they could trigger out a response from some rude people that I've had in the past. I haven't handled that properly. So what I do instead is I go, ah, wait, I'm going to be triggered here, or I am being triggered here. I'm going to think about my symbol. And as I'm thinking about the symbol, I'm saying something that sounds like, there is nothing wrong here. I'm being triggered. There's nothing to fix. There's no, everything is fine. I'm being triggered. When I go home, I will remember this and I'll work it out. So that symbol, what it does is it takes the focus away from the person or the situation that could be upsetting to you, and it puts it right back. Oh, look, it's me. I'm perfect. I don't have to be fixed, and there's nothing wrong with me. I have my symbol. I'm just thinking really positive thoughts about my symbol. Later on, I'll go find out what triggered me, and then I'll forgive it or release it, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's so simple, Sheldon. It's really, really simple. Use a symbol. Say, there's nothing wrong here. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. And all of a sudden, this person that is used to having people respond to them in a negative way because of their actions, you're just smiling at them and going, okay, so would you like some coffee with that? And they're going, oh, yeah, I would. And they're all nice again because you were able to look inside yourself and find out what was going on. And you didn't respond to them in a mean or negative way. You were just a normal, natural, neutral person trying to help them out in their own situation. And it tends to just stop a lot of the crud that can happen to you. It's just gone. So that's another system that people can use. Yeah, because it was really quick, huh? 2 seconds later, people are nice.
We like anything that can especially put us into that state of peace and joy and higher vibration and the cycle of the other trajectory. Thank you for sharing all that. first of all, really appreciate it. And I was doing the beach ball exercise while you were doing it. I'm wondering if anybody else was. If you were, I'd certainly love to hear from you. But I felt my hands were actually moving farther apart on their own. It felt like there was a little pushback from the energy field that I was creating. And I could feel that pushback and just letting my hands grow bigger and bigger. And then that's a great exercise. I love that exercise. Thanks for sharing that and everything you're sharing. And I'm really grateful, and I'm seeing that our time is actually already up, and I can't believe that we've gone 30 minutes already. That's amazing.
Yeah, because the reason when you said grateful, you know, that's the last thing I wanted to mention was being grateful.
Ahead.
Yeah, that is okay. Like the glue that holds this whole thing together is this amount of gratitude that we have. We can have towards the God within. You can see God without. You can just be grateful for people around you, your friends, your living situation. I know people that were living in the car with 16 cents, and they ended up with jobs, and it's because they were grateful. And these things that happen to people, they're amazing. And there is no one that this won't work for. That's my theory. There is nobody that love and gratitude won't make their lives so much better. I just suggest it. Oh, just suggest it, Sheldon.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, thanks for your suggestions and encouragement. It's always nice to be reminded from a personal standpoint, you know, even though I actually live this work and I teach it, you know, and it's not lost on me at all that teaching is, you know, the people that need to, that really want to learn something the most end up teaching it. I get it. I'm so grateful to have people I can teach to, because it's really this is the stuff I really want to learn and master. As someone who intends to continue to master consciousness studies and consciousness, I'm grateful to be reminded again and again and again. So thank you. Okay. So moving on, my friend and colleague Masharda is offering a free gift like everyone else, and I'm going to go ahead and describe it because she's put together something special just for our audience of SoulSpeak. Is it okay that I go ahead and do that, Masharda?
Oh, yeah. I would love that. Thank you.
Okay. So what you're offering is, let me just check my notes, make sure I've got this right, a free 30 to 40 minute intuitive healing session to the first seven people that click the free gift link. So the first seven people that click that link, that will take you to her contact page or email. I'm not really sure which, but don't worry, it'll get to her. And she is going to gift all of you a free 30 to 40 minute intuitive healing session. And then after that, if you aren't one of those first seven, she wants to continue to be able to serve the audience. And she's going to do that with a 70% discount off her normal fee for a 40-minute intuitive healing session. So it's going to be a 70% discounted session after those first seven. Okay, so if you're not one of those first seven that gets in free, just know that there'll be a 70% discount, which brings it to $37. $37 for your 40-minute healing session. Okay? So mention the coupon code.
That's less than $1 a minute. That's pretty good.
Mention the coupon code SoulSpeak when you click on over to that link. That will, so she knows that is coming through this audience. And there we go. Do you have any final words, any last words for us, Masharda, before we end the session?
Oh, I'm so grateful, Sheldon, that you let me come on your show and share even a little bit of the stuff I know. And my guides are all grateful, too. They're all cheering and clapping and dancing. And we're just so grateful to come and talk with you and all of the folks.
Aw. Yeah. Gosh, I know the energy of spirit is always so joyful, and especially when they get their opportunity to be part of the process consciously, it's such a gift for them too. So I feel it. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that all that energy. Okay, well, thank you everybody for being with us, and please
thank you everybody.
Tune in. Yeah, thank you so much, Misharda, for being here. Really appreciate you for being willing to come onto the show and share all of these wonderful tools and your experience. Take care, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.